Well, I'm very pleased to see all of you here today. Last Sunday, I found, as we talked about the first part of our study, I was speaking about age in service to God, and I found out nobody that was here last Sunday really had any application to that lesson. So I'm glad to see so many of you young people here today. And we're going to talk about the second part of that lesson. It's just a two-lesson series about youth and age in service to God. And the Bible has actually a fair amount to say about the subject of youth and or subjects of youth and age. We have a lot of examples in the scriptures of people who in their advanced years still remain true to God and faithful in their service to Him, and stand as wonderful examples about how to close out one's life in faithfulness to the Lord. And then on the other hand, we have a lot of examples in the scriptures of young people who served the Lord early in their life and did so very admirably and demonstrated that, as we talked about last week, God has purposes and uses for everyone. It doesn't matter if you're young or you're old. You can still serve God. There is no unemployment because of one's youth. There is no retirement because of one's age. But God can be served in our lives. And so this morning I'd like for us to to think a few moments about this idea of serving God in our youth. And as I did last Sunday, I'd basically like to look at this from three vantage points. One, regarding the resources of youth. There are some very particular, very specific resources that young people can bring to the service of God. Then I'd also like to talk about privileges, because just as it was true of those who were older, that there are particular privileges associated with being advanced in one's years, so it's true of youth. There are some particular privileges that are associated with being young, and we need to appreciate them. We need to appreciate them if we're young. We need to appreciate them if we've grown old, but still acknowledge that those privileges exist and be very willing and eager to extend those privileges to those that are younger than us. And then finally, I want to look at the subject of youth and serving God in our youth from the viewpoint of duty. What obligations do we have? What responsibilities do we have in our youth to serve the Lord? So if you would, please, consider with me, first of all, the resources of youth. You know, one of the, I think, particularly strong elements about being young is there is an ability to learn in our youth that, and I'm not saying that we can't learn when we become older, but probably we're more inclined to learn and to view ourselves as students and take the position of being someone who ought to be taught when we are young, more so than perhaps when we are old. The psalmist made a wonderful statement in Psalm 71 and verse 17 about this. He said, "O God, you have taught me from my youth, and I still declare your wondrous deeds." Now, obviously, the psalmist is not saying, well, I was able to learn when I was young, and I'm not able to now. I think pretty clearly he's saying that beginning in my youth, or from my youth, you, O God, have taught me. And the idea is of a continuation of that instruction and that teaching, and a determination that whatever point that the psalmist was, and he doesn't really identify himself here necessarily as old, but he does reveal a determination to declare the deeds of God, to declare the things that he has learned about God. And youth, it just lends itself to that purpose and to achieving that goal. Proverbs, the first chapter and the fourth verse, There the wise man said to give, he's writing about the Proverbs and the purposes of the Proverbs. What are these Proverbs intended to do? And he says that one of the purposes is to give prudence to the naive, to the youth, knowledge and discretion. It's just a great thing. When in our youth, when we are young, that we have the opportunities to learn about God, to be instructed about God. That's exactly the reason why God said to parents that it is your obligation, it's your responsibility to raise up your children in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. It's your obligation as parents to see that your children in their youth learn about God. Now you may be here this morning and you may say, well, David, it was my experience that my parents didn't necessarily devote themselves to that purpose, to that obligation. That doesn't mean that you still can't learn. However advanced in life you may be, you still can learn. But it's just one of the resources that young people provide to us, that they are particularly adept at being instructed and at learning. I'll tell you another thing, another resource that young people bring. They bring to a congregation, to a group of people, is they bring an energy. They bring a level of activity that doesn't necessarily exist among those who are older. We talked to some about this last Sunday, that one of the aspects about growing older is we just find out that, you know, we've come to a point in life where we're not necessarily able to do all of the things that we used to do. I think I'm finding that out. You know, just from a physical standpoint, that there are a lot of things that I once could do, you know, when I was Alex's age, that I can't do anymore. And that's just part of growing older. We looked, or at least referred very briefly in Ecclesiastes chapter 12 last week, in that description of age that the preacher, as he identifies himself, gives in the first several verses of that chapter. And all of the things that he talks about, the effects that age has had upon the eyes and upon the hearing and upon the strength that he once had physically. It's just a graphic description of how age affects those things. But when we're talking about those that are young, we're talking about a time in life when they're strong and physically they have a lot of energy. And what they oftentimes do, and thank God for them, what they oftentimes do is they bring to a group of people a level of energy. If they are predisposed to using their energy in the service of God and in the works of a of a congregation. Now young people need to be willing to be used in various capacities, recognizing that they do have this level of energy. And then those who are older in a congregation need to acknowledge and need to recognize that there are young folks in our midst who have these capabilities and who are willing to use them. It's not always true that everybody that has the abilities are willing to use them. And it's not always true that those who are willing to use what they have necessarily have the abilities any longer. But in youth, you can put those things together and achieve a level of energy. And young people bring a life to a congregation of God's people. Stop and think for a moment. Now, I'm not saying to you that a congregation can't function and can't operate as a group of faithful group of God's people with only older people. they can do that. I know of lots of congregations that are comprised strictly of older people who do wonderful work for the Lord. But I want you to stop and think for a moment. What if we just removed all of these young people that we have in this gathering today? What if all of the youth that's in our midst was taken out? Do you think that'd make a difference? I think it probably would. They bring a vitality, a level of energy that just comes along with youth. And we need to appreciate that. We need to appreciate them for that. Well, I'll tell you a third thing that I think that young people bring as a matter of a resource. They bring a freedom from prejudging things, from a prejudice. There's just, it seems there is a, it's almost innate, a willingness to think about and to consider things from a standpoint that is fresh, that is not necessarily based upon, well, this is the way we've always done it. You know, there are a lot of times when that's fine to continue doing things the way you've always done. That's okay in many instances. Nothing wrong with that. But you know that sometimes there just may be some better ways of doing things. Or conditions and circumstances change and almost demand doing things differently. Just think for a moment about those Jewish people from the first century who heard the gospel of Christ and they responded to it. And then they learned that part of that gospel included the notion that non-Jews, Gentiles, could be believers in Christ and could become Christians. What a dramatic difference that was. What a dramatically different way of doing things that involved. We know that because Scripture addresses how that caused some consternation among the early Christians. What I'm saying to you is, and only the young people, only the young Christians could adapt to that kind of a change. Well, of course that's not true. The older Christians had to adapt to that aspect of the gospel of Christ just as well as the young people had to do it. And it required a lot. But what I am saying to you is that among those that are younger, they're just one of the resources, one of the aspects of being young, many times, is a willingness to consider things differently. I mean, if we have no better reason for doing the things that we do other than, well, it's just the way we've always done it, then we need to go back and find some reasons for why we do the things that we're doing, some better reasons. Because I'll tell you, there are a lot better reasons to do what we do other than that's just because that's the way we've always done it. Well, those are just some basic thoughts about the resources that young people bring, some things that are just peculiar to being young. But now, there are also, as is true for those that are older, there's also some privileges. And basically, I'd just like to suggest one to you. Turn, if you would, over to the book of Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes chapter 11. And in verse 9, I want you to notice with me what we're told here. Ecclesiastes 11 and verse 9. Rejoice, young man, during your childhood Let your heart be pleasant during the days of young manhood. Follow the impulses of your heart and the desires of your eyes. Yet know that God will bring you to judgment for all these things. This is just part of the privilege of being young. And that is that you're meant to enjoy this part of your life. And again, I want to hasten to add, I'm not saying that you can't enjoy being older. You can, and you should. God intends for us to enjoy our lives beginning to end and to appreciate them. But I guess one way I could illustrate this is, I know this won't come as any surprise to a lot of you, is by the game of golf. You hit a shot and it goes off into the woods. And I'll tell you what a young man will do. Well, let me tell you what an old man will do before I tell you that. Old man will go into the woods and find the ball, and he'll look for that safe way out of trouble and get back into the fairway. The young man will go into the woods and he'll find the ball and he'll see that safe way of back to the fairway. But then he'll see, you know, there's a slight opening in the trees down there. And I could hit it low, and I keep it low and get right through those trees, and I could get on the green from here. The old man will look at that and say, oh, but that's just risky, and you're better off being safe and going out. It's part of the privilege of youth to take what we sometimes would call, we'll just take a flyer. You know, you just go for it in youth. And I'm not talking about necessarily just playing golf. You know, if I could say one thing to those of you that are young, it would be, while you're young, if there's something that you want to do, some job you want to, you know, try for, some career or whatever that old men like me might look and say, well, you know, here's the safe course. You go for it. This is the time. And you may, I'll tell you what will happen sometimes. When that young man's in the woods and he'll try that risky shot, I'll tell you what happens. Sometimes he ends up on the green. I'll admit to you, sometimes he ends up deeper in the woods and in more trouble. And it just doesn't work out like he hoped it would. And in life, in your youth, this is the time to go for it. If it doesn't work out, if you get deeper in the woods, you've still got time in your life. You've got time to overcome that, to get back out there into the fairway. You enjoy your life. And those of us that are older need to be sure that we extend this privilege to those that are younger. So rejoice in your life during your childhood. Let your heart be pleasant during the days of young manhood. Follow the impulses of your heart and the desires of your eyes. You know, here I am, 20-something years old. I've always wanted to live in New York City. By the way, I never have. But I've always wanted to live in New York City. Well, son or daughter, this is a good time to do it. Go and do it. Follow the impulses of your eyes. But please, please take note the last phrase in that ninth verse. Yet know that God will bring you to judgment for all these things. When you try those things about life that are exciting or maybe uncertain, you make sure that they are still things that God approves and that God would be pleased with. Because you'll have to answer for them. A lot of times we talk about, you know, youth is a time when young people want to sow their wild oats, and as a preacher once said, and then they pray for a crop failure. If we sow our wild oats, we're going to be held responsible for it. I'm not telling you that youth is a time to go off and live in an irresponsible and frankly an immoral fashion. It is not the time to do that. But it is the time to be young. It is the time to enjoy. But to do so in recognition of the fact that you are still a person responsible to God. And that involves recognizing the duties that you have as a young person. The text that we've used in our study in Titus chapter 2, in verses 2 and 3, we saw last week, Paul addresses himself to those that are older and to their resources and to their privileges and to their responsibilities. But in Titus chapter 2 and in verse 4 and following, we see where he turns his attention to those that are younger. And we see some of the duties that he outlines. And so I would say to you, as we close, I would say to you, here is the way that you can do what Ecclesiastes said, to enjoy your life, to take the risks, to follow the intentions of your, the desires of your heart and of your eyes, but to do so in recognition of your responsibility to God. Here's how you meet your responsibility to God in Titus chapter 2. He begins to talk in verse 4 to those that are young. First of all, the young women. Here's what young women ought to do. They ought to love their husbands. They ought to love their children. They ought to be sensible, pure, workers or keepers at home, kind, subject to their own husbands, that the word of God may not be dishonored. I'll tell you how you can, as a young woman, how you can do what you should as a young person. You ought to conduct yourself in a way that God's word is not going to be dishonored. People who know you and who know your affiliation and your commitment to Christ, to the ways of God, are not going to see in your actions reasons to think poorly about God and your professed allegiance to Him. When you're young, be sure you do these things, Paul says. And he addresses himself to the young men also in verse 6. He says, likewise, urge the young men to be sensible. Now sometimes ladies will read this and they say, now wait a minute. You know, the previous verse he had all of these things to say to young women, and then he comes to young men in verse 6 and he says, be sensible. Why? Why is there so much young women are told to do and there's so little that young men are told to do? Well, I think I've got an answer for that. I think Paul just knew men very well, and he didn't want to overtask their little brains with what. Now, I really think, I believe that the next verse also would fall in this category of what young men ought to do. He says in verse 7, in all things, show yourself to be an example of good deeds with purity and doctrine, dignified, sound in speech, which is beyond reproach, in order that the opponent, there we are, we get back to the idea of people who are not Christians, who observe your life. And here it's someone who would even be classified as an opponent to the things that you stand for, in order that the opponent may be put to shame, having nothing to say bad about us. Now there's a good way to use your life in your youth. It's not going to last forever. The day is coming when you no longer will be young. You will be old. And you'll have the responsibilities of an old man or an old woman, and the privileges. And you'll be a resource in your age to others. But you're young now. But that doesn't mean that you're without duties and obligations to God, as Paul outlines them here. And because you're young, it doesn't mean that you're without privileges. And because you're young, it doesn't mean that you aren't a resource to this group or to any group that you might be a part of. My question to you this morning is just this. Since we're talking about service to God in our youth, let me just ask those of you that are young. Are you using this time in your life to serve God? Are you using this time in your life in a way that will bring honor to Him and not dishonor? If you're not, then you need to make the determination that going forward, I'm going to do that. I'm going to be a young person, like so many of those that I read about in the Bible, who brings honor to God. If you'll do that, then I would tell you that you'll be positioned in a much better way in your life to enjoy the privileges and be the resource that you ought to be. And you'll be positioned in a much better way to become old, because it's going to happen sooner than you think. If you're not a Christian, then you're not using your life in a way that truly honors God. But you need not allow that to continue on any longer. You can turn your life around by giving it to God. God has said that men and women who would believe that Jesus is His Son and who would turn away from their sins, determine they're not going to live that way any longer, who would confess their faith in Jesus and who would be baptized to wash the guilt of their sins away, that these are the people who would become His children. These are the people who could truly use their lives, young or old, bringing honor to Him. And we pray that, young or old, that today, if you need to do that, that you would do so. And we are ready to help you in every way that we can. And ask only that you would come and let us know that we can help you in this as we stand and sing together.